The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. I was going to say some more things about the Biden administration. No, not now. Who knows? Maybe in the next hour there'll be something else outrageous coming out of this administration, but for now, no. We're going to turn our attention just for a moment to the state of New York. I got a new hero. Her name is Emily Carpenter. Emily Carpenter, she is a photographer in New York State. She has just filed a federal lawsuit against the state of New York. And this is a preemptive lawsuit. I love her strategy. Now, what do I mean by that? Not long ago, the state of New York passed a non-discrimination law. And as all of you know, if the liberal left passes a law, look for the name of the law and know that the real purpose of the law is exactly the opposite of the name. So if it's a non-discrimination lawsuit, it aims to discriminate probably against Christians and conservatives. All right, anyway, the law in New York says if you own a business, you cannot discriminate because of sexual orientation in any place of public accommodation or any public business. Retail establishments dealing with goods or services of any kind, the law says, which means if no one has done it yet, but if a same-sex couple came to Emily Carpenter, a professional photographer, and said, "We want you to photograph our same-sex wedding." And if Emily Carpenter says, I am a Bible-believing Christian that violates my Christian convictions, and no, I can't do that. Well, she would be ruled in defiance of New York law, could be sued, fined, etc., like the baker in Colorado, like the florist in Washington State, like the artists in Phoenix, Arizona, etc. So before she was set up for this, as Jack Phillips, the baker, was in Colorado, who was intentionally targeted and set up, before that happened, she is filing a preemptive lawsuit that will obviously protect her, but if she wins, it will protect all of those with Christian conscience in the state of New York. I love it. She is not sitting around waiting for someone to bring the lawsuit to her. She is filing a preemptive lawsuit against the state of New York. Here's the story. A Christian professional photographer filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday of this week against the state of New York, seeking to overturn a law that could result in her being jailed for up to a year and fined $100,000 if she does not work same-sex weddings. Photographer Emily Carpenter owns a photography business that offers several services and specializes in wedding photographs. In the lawsuit, I'm going to read the actual wording, or at least some of it, from the lawsuit. Listen to this, and I quote, by the way, the Alliance Defending Freedom is representing her. The lawsuit states, quote, Emily believes that God designed marriage as a gift for people of all faiths, races, and backgrounds to reflect the unity and diversity seen in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to point people to Jesus' sacrificial and redemptive love for his church. Emily celebrates engagements and marriages between one man and one woman through what she photographs, participates in, and posts about in order to share God's design for marriage with her clients and the public, consistent with her beliefs. Good for her. The suit goes on and says, just as the government cannot compel a lesbian baker to create a cake condemning same-sex marriage, or an atheist playwright to wax positively about God, New York cannot force Emily to convey messages she objects to, the suit says. The suit goes on and says, Carpenter will work with LGBT individuals, LGBT-owned businesses to create branding photographs, but her religious beliefs prohibit her from photographing same-sex weddings. Creative professionals like Emily should have the freedom to create art consistent with their beliefs without fear of the government closing their business or throwing them in jail. Emily serves all people. She just cannot promote messages which contradict her religious beliefs about any topic, including marriage. The government cannot treat some people worse than others based on their religious views. So the lawsuit was just filed on Tuesday of this week. Obviously, this is going to take a long time. It could take 2 or 3 years. But God bless her. And by the way, God bless the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF. More often than not, when you see a case like this, it is the ADF representing the Christian individual or business. Good for them. We'll keep an eye on it, although I don't imagine anything's going to happen quickly in that. On the pro-life front, the Kentucky legislature has passed an amendment saying there is no right to kill babies in abortions. Kentucky Today reports Kentucky Secretary of State Michael Adams signed the Yes for Life Amendment at the state capitol, surrounded by pro-life lawmakers and advocates. The Secretary of State said, quote, one of my perks of my job as Secretary of State under the Constitution is I get the constitutional amendments. They don't go to the governor. They come to me. I've already signed a couple, but I take more pleasure in this one than any others. The Kentucky Constitution will now say to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. The bill was sponsored by State Representative Joseph Fisher, and the bill, I don't understand all of the ins and outs of Kentucky government, but a bill, a piece of legislation in Kentucky can amend the Constitution. And the Kentucky Secretary of State has signed it. So unless I'm incorrect, this is now a part of the Kentucky Constitution. Does that make abortion illegal in Kentucky? No. It just clearly says in the Constitution of the state, abortion is not a right. Good for them. In addition, state of Wyoming, the governor has signed into law a bill to stop infanticide. Governor Mark Gordon signed the Born Alive Infant Means of Care Act. Interesting thing, this same legislation was passed a year ago. He vetoed it. They passed it again. This time he has signed it. So the state of Wyoming has a Born Alive Infant Means of Care Act, which simply means doctors must provide medically appropriate and reasonable steps to preserve the life and health of a baby born alive from an abortion as they would to any other baby born at the same stage of development. Good for them. I have no idea why the governor vetoed the basically the same legislation a year ago, but he changed his mind. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Strange thing happening down in Tennessee. Speaking of state legislation, and some important news out of Great Britain about transgenderism, which contradicts a lot of what you're hearing here in America. I'll give you the details when we return.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Very important piece out of Great Britain. If you read the mainstream media here in America, you would be led to believe that transgenderism really exists, when in fact there is no scientific evidence whatsoever for that. None. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. But if you read the mainstream media and even many health officials here in America, you would be led to believe that, even though it absolutely defies science. If you read the mainstream media and some medical journals here in America, you would also be led to believe that children who suffer from sexual dysphoria, which is confusion about their gender. They're a boy, but they think maybe they're a girl. They're a girl, but they kind of think that they're a boy, and they're confused, all right? If you read the mainstream media here in America, and even many health officials, you would be led to believe, well, you need to give those kids puberty blockers. You need to give them hormone treatment. And that will help them. That's beneficial. Which is blatantly untrue. And for once, we're seeing things come out of Great Britain that should settle this issue. And American media and health officials should pay attention. Now, what this story is all about is the Tavistock Center. You've heard me talk about it often. This is the main center in Great Britain where transgenderism is treated. And up until recently, if a boy, we're talking about a minor, we're talking hypothetically a 6-year-old boy, and he says, I don't know, I feel a little feminine, I like to play with dolls, maybe I'm supposed to be a girl. That child would be taken to the Tavistock Center, and the professionals there would say, oh, well, that boy really is a girl. Not only are we going to give him dolls, we're going to do give puberty blockers, we're going to do hormones and blah, 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 blah. Until recently. One of the former patients of the Tavistock Center, a person who considered themselves to be transgender, went there as a child, was given hormone treatment, puberties, blockers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then when this individual became a young adult, she said, that was a terrible mistake. I was just confused. I didn't need surgery. I didn't need puberty blockers. I did not need hormone treatment. I needed counseling. I was not mature enough to make those decisions. And the Tavistock Center has ruined my life. And she took him to court. And they brought in the very top experts, not only in Great Britain, but other places around the world, and it went to trial. Sworn testimony. And the result? The court ruled in favor of this woman and against the Tavistock Center. And in the testimony, it was concluded transgenderism really doesn't exist, and these hormone treatments and puberty blockers do not help children. They usually hurt them. Here is the headline out of Great Britain today, because it's still in the news. Evidence for puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones are effective, as effective treatment, very low. Conclusion of the National Institute for Health, which is the government health system in Great Britain. And here's what I want you to take home. This young woman takes on the largest transgender center in Great Britain. She takes on the National Health Center, and she brings expert witnesses, she and her attorneys, and she turns the medical community in all of Great Britain upside down and inside out. Because of her court case, the NHS, which again is the government health system, commissioned a study, quote, commissioned a study into the use of puberty blocking drugs amid heightened scrutiny of the Tavistock Clinic in London. And a review of the government health system's gender identity services. The assessment found, and I quote, existing studies of the drugs were small and subject to bias and confounding. The agency examined the impact of the hormone blockers on gender confusion and mental health, including anger, anxiety, and depression, and even suicide, and general quality of life, and concluded the quality of evidence for these outcomes was assessed as very low certainty. Any potential benefits of gender-affirming hormones must be weighed against the largely unknown long-term safety profile of these treatments in children and adolescents with gender dysphoria. As to the clinical effectiveness and safety of cross-sex hormones, they were of very low quality. Now, I'm running out of time, but this is a blockbuster study out of Great Britain, which contradicts directly what many of the so-called experts in America are saying. After a great deal of research, study, they have determined that those studies that said that transgenderism exists and cross-sex hormones are beneficial are false.